It's 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Clear.
I'm Cammy McCormick. WNBA star Brittany Griner is free and heading home to the U.S. after 10 months in Russian prisons for drug charges. It was part of a prisoner swap, as CBS's Catherine Herridge reports.
There's somewhat of a mixed response. There's the obvious joy that she's been freed from this Russian jail and she'll be returning to her family and friends here in the United States. But what we've heard already from former U.S. government officials is some level of concern. They're questioning the wisdom of swapping a convicted arms dealer, Victor Boot, for a civilian. And Victor Boot was somebody who provided weapons to drug cartels, designated terrorist organizations, and to individuals who intended to harm American citizens. So they're questioning sort of the equivalency here.
American Paul Whelan is still being held in Russia. Senator Chuck Schumer has been elected for another term as Democratic leader in the Senate. The Democrats now have a 51-seat majority, but his leadership will still be tested by Republicans taking control of the House. The House gave final approval today to legislation protecting same-sex and interracial marriages.
The motion is adopted.
President Biden is expected to quickly sign the measure, which requires all states to recognize same-sex marriages. It's being called a triple-demic. COVID, flu, and the RSV. In Los Angeles County, more than 5,000 new COVID cases were recorded yesterday alone. Here's correspondent Carter Evans.
In Los Angeles County, COVID cases have soared 75% in just the last week. Douglas Chiriboga is a family medicine doctor, and he says the implications are clear.
Should there be another mandate in LA County?
I think there should be, and I think eventually we're all going to have that mass mandate.
It's the worst flu season in more than a decade. Pope Francis broke down in tears today as he talked about the suffering of Ukrainians during a traditional prayer in Rome. He was unable to speak for about 30 seconds.
Avrei voluto oggi portarti il ringraziamento del popolo ucraino.
It's the holiday season, which means for some worrying about how much to tip those you rely on, from housekeepers to postal workers.
The frequency of holiday tipping is up this year, but the amounts that people are giving are down.
Analyst Ted Rossman at Bankrate.com. Many Americans finding it difficult with inflation to pay the bills. This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Clear, a faster, easier way through airport security. Try today for 2 months free by visiting clearme.com/CBS22 or use code CBS22.
If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in taxes, please listen to this important message. The IRS is aggressively hiring and quickly ramping up their tax collection team. Act now and protect yourself with a call to Tax Alliance. Don't let the money you owe the IRS keep you up at night and ruin your life. You may be surprised at how much having Tax Alliance on your side can protect you from the IRS collections and help you save thousands on what you owe. Here's what a customer had to say.
Tax Alliance did an amazing job helping me through a quite difficult situation, saving me tens and thousands of dollars that I would have been paying for many years to come.
Tax Alliance is rated A+ with a Better Business Bureau with no consumer complaints. If you owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled returns, or have a payment plan and are still frustrated, call Tax Alliance now for a free consultation. 800-577-4976. 800-577-4976. 800-577-4976.
Tax Alliance, your tax resolution solution.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. It's been a good year for Wisconsin, with the state dipping below 3% unemployment in the last 12 months, and the current unemployment rate sits at 3.3%, but a worker shortage is still projected in the coming years. There are roughly 2 job openings for every job seeker in Wisconsin. So the state is trying to re-engage people who've been out of the workforce for a variety of reasons, including incarceration. There are currently 10 job centers and correctional facilities helping inmates secure employment after they're released. Catholic Charities held an open house at their new facility on Grand Avenue in Wausau on Wednesday at the Community Partners campus building. Multiple services will soon be available in one location, including a warming shelter, food pantry, office space, and services for elderly. After 4 years of planning, construction is on track to be completed and they will open in February. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 35. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance of snow tonight, lows level off around 24. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies tomorrow, snow likely, highs level off around 33. 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight through Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 35.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
And Brian,
he's back.
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up, big guy?
I'm back.
Alive, you are, man. Back.
Things are happening. Things are stuff, and a little bit of whatnot.
Absolutely, it's fantastic to have you back, man. And we're thrilled that you're in studio in the Shaw 101 FM WAUK 540 AM. And I'm broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios here in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. Folks out there in the listening audience are also listening across the state of Wisconsin on Civic Media in Oshkosh on Oshkosh Air Support, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Slake Air in Amory, and Radio from the Center in Richland Center. If you want to join the conversation with Brian and I this fine Thursday afternoon, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789, and it's good to have you back, big guy.
Hey, man.
Yeah, you got a fresh little haircut, it looks like. You
got the mustache back. Yeah, I got the mustache back. I got my pride back. I feel a little bit more, not that I didn't have a pride before, I'm just making stuff up at this point. No, I'm getting my mouth back. It's exciting. I did nothing, and it was all everything I thought it could be.
There you go.
Seriously, the best moment of the entire thing was the first day when Sage told me to, like, in an email that I happened to, like, hear the notification for it. I just opened. I wasn't even trying to look at emails. And the email said, Brian, if you're reading this, turn off your notifications. And I said, that's a great idea. And I did. And I went back to bed for like 3 hours.
There you go. See, I didn't know if you'd need that reminder or not, so I was going to send it myself, but yeah. I'm glad Sage was able to take care of it for you.
It was great, and like, again, I don't want to like make a huge deal out of it, but I just went and turned off for a while, and I just did other things. That's it.
There you go. Well, we're glad to have you back here on the airwaves, and we've got some headlines here with Wisconsin Ties and a couple of stories that broke earlier this week that I knew that you and I would want to discuss. So save those for this as well. But again, if you want to join the conversation, share your tangent with Brian and I, 844-967-2789. But the headline of the day, Brian, the House of Representatives, U.S. House of Representatives, has passed the Respect for Marriage Act, and it is going to President Joe Biden's desk. Thank you again, Wisconsin's U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, for shepherding this through the U.S. Senate, sending the version back to the House that passed the Senate, and now getting it to President Biden's desk. This is an another historic day for marriage equality here in the United States.
Yeah, that's finally.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the Roe v. Wade scare, and you also had Clarence Thomas signaling, hey, you know, if you guys, if you like this whole respect for marriage thing, maybe you guys want to do something about it. It'd be a shame if things happen to it.
It'd be a shame if Obergefell got revisited just like Roe. And one of the interesting caveats that I saw today, Brian, former U.S. Representative Barney Frank of Massachusetts was there today on the floor when the House passed this. And he said, I was here when the Defense of Marriage Act passed, and I'm thrilled to be here for its funeral. And that was because that is part of the aspect of the Respect for Marriage Act. It repealed the final provisions of the Defense of Marriage Act that were still in place and preventing same-sex marriages from being recognized federally. And so Barney Frank came with he was mourning it, the funeral of the Defense of Marriage Act. So the Respect for Marriage Act has passed. It is huge news. If you, Brian, do you know if any Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin that are part of the congressional delegation voted for it? Because I know if they did or not, but I'm curious if you saw this portion of the House vote today.
I'm reading this right now.
Okay. This one, it's interesting because I think, and folks out there in the listening audience, there are two Republicans, part of the congressional delegation here in Wisconsin, that did vote for this bill. And I think they both signal very important things for 2024. And yes, we have a statewide Supreme Court race coming up this spring, but a lot of people are also talking about 2024 already. And the two Republican members of Congress that voted for this version of the Respect for Marriage Act, I think are very telling for 2024, Brian. You want to share with the people the two that decided to break party lines and join?
I don't know. Do you want to speculate? Was it Glenn Grothman at all? Was it Glenn Grothman?
No, I can tell you. In fact, it was not.
I can tell you it wasn't Tom Tiffany, and it wasn't necessarily because he just wasn't there. again, you people are like, let's vote for this guy. He never shows up. Yay! I mean, that's aside from ideology, at least have a guy that shows up. But anyway, yeah, that's toxic true. Tom Tiffany for a reason.
Just absent. Just very, very absent.
Which might be for the better, if you think about
honestly,
it.
Honestly, yeah. Yes. Anyway, so it wasn't either of those two. No. And it wasn't Scott Fitzgerald. He may be, you know, lawyering up for his role that he played in helping send a fraudulent slate of electors to D.C. So he voted no, busy with other priorities this time of year. So the two congressional members that voted for it are Brian Stile and Mike Gallagher.
Wow, my representative voted for it. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Do you think it's because that this is something that he actually, you know, firmly believes in, or do you think this was a show vote for Stile?
No. His advantage was one of the few that changed. When the maps changed, and yeah, that's it. That's literally it. It's just because he's got a closer margin. And by the way, Ann Rowe barely ran a campaign, and you know, had she run anything, she might have actually challenged him. So I think.
I mean, she was already on the ballot. There was not a contested primary down there in the first congressional district because of the late process that the maps got adopted in. And I have a feeling Brian Stile is probably shaking in his boots a little bit because he's only got a +1 leaning district now. And so he's going to have a much more competitive race on his hands come 2024. And I think Brian Stile took the political calculus saying, well, I'm not in a as safe district that Paul Ryan was once in. And so therefore I got to kind of moderate some of my positions. Doesn't mean that he voted for the infrastructure bill last year that was bipartisan. That was before the maps came out. So how would he possibly know, Brian, his political future at that time? He also didn't vote for the chips manufacturing bill. That was this year when he knew what kind of district he was in. But he decided to take the step and try to insulate himself when it comes to a closer race in 2024 for that first congressional district. But Mike Gallagher is the interesting one, because Brian Stile voted yes along with the Democrats earlier this summer, Brian. So Stile's vote was consistent with how he voted earlier. But Mike Gallagher flipped his vote, because when the Respect for Marriage Act passed the House earlier this year, Mike Gallagher was a no. And after it came out, the revised vision, again, the version, excuse me, that U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin worked hard on to shepherd through the U.S. Senate and get past a filibuster, Mike Gallagher decided to vote for it, Brian. And I think that's very telling for what Mike Gallagher plans to do come 2024.
Oh.
Because he's also doing a little media circuit. I believe he's on a right-wing talk show here in Madison in the Milwaukee area this afternoon. So not only is he trying to moderate his votes, Brian, he's getting out there and press that's not in his district up there in the Green Bay area. He's getting ready to run for U.S. Senate come 2024. What do you think about that?
Good luck with that. That's what I have to say. Because, again, day of January 6th, he was
banana
like,
republic.
Oh, this is banana republic stuff. This is ridiculous. Oh, my goodness. How can this ever happen?
They didn't vote for impeachment.
Nope. And pretty much has been spineless on the whole issue since.
Yeah, but if you're going to run a campaign against Tammy Baldwin, who would be his competitor in that race, she is going to be the incumbent here in Wisconsin 2024. I think it would probably be better off to be able to vote for that bill, the Respect for Marriage Act, rather than be a no vote on it. And so I think Mike Gallagher realized the political calculus of him wanting to run for U.S. Senate in the next year or so. I would assume sometime in 2023 he'll announce for that. But he insulated himself with flipping his vote from earlier this summer and voting for the Respect for Marriage Act. Interestingly enough, Brian, he talked about the protections for religious liberties in the revised version from the Senate, you know, the same religious liberties that were the reason that, again, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin.
Same religious liberties that made people cry on the House floor today.
Yeah, yeah. And we do have a clip of that, too. I don't know.
This is Banana Republic crap.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you, yeah. Representative Gallagher. Yeah, it was an interesting motion on some of the Republicans on the House floor pleading with their colleagues not to pass it.
Oh, when you don't know how your country works or... When you don't know how your country works or how the whole thing even happens or how your country was founded upon religious liberty and not that it's not a Christian country. Also,
separation of church and state.
You know what I noticed in all that discussion about Brian Stile and all their and Gallagher and why they voted and their political calculus? You know who didn't enter into that political calculus? The gay people whose rights
they didn't do it for that. Do it for the community that was marginalized by the federal government recognizing their marriage.
Yeah.
I think it all has to do with political calculus.
That's
Brian.
Good. That's good. Not because it was a good or a moral or right thing. It's because political calculus told them to. That's good.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Brian's back. We're going to get to a couple of other stories, but we'll get to your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. You're listening across Civic Media. We'll be back.
Don't get tackled by high prices during the Packer game. Head to Jammer's Bar & Grill on Eagle Road in Wisconsin Rapids. With specials starting an hour before kickoff and lasting until the final whistle, you have plenty of time to enjoy $2 brews, $1 off mixers, and free peanuts. Plus, anytime there's a score in the game, Jammer Slammers are only 50 cents. Don't forget about the food, great burgers, sandwiches, and apps. Head over to Jammer's Bar & Grill for fun with family and friends and cheer on Wisconsin's favorite team. Jammer's Bar & Grill, Eagle Road, Wisconsin Rapids.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend.
defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. Talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You're listening to this program across Civic Media in Oshkosh on Oshkosh Air Support, the Shaw in Waukesha, Devil Radio here in Madison, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Air in Amory, and radio from the center in Richland Center. You want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. I was getting the marbles out of the mouth with your first day back on the air in a little while, Bri.
I just had a glass of water. So I was going, just for you guys.
I can't.
I know, it's awful. It's awful, isn't it?
You're the worst.
I'm doing it for you. I do it for guys, folks that are out there, that moist imagery, that was for Luke, and I'm sorry that you got in the way. Sorry for that, everyone. It's probably Luke's fault.
My fault somehow. Fault somehow. I apologize.
That's good. That's good. Let's teach that.
while you were out, man, we talked a lot about labor. There was the looming rail strike.
Yeah, It was amazing how this bipartisan Congress, probably the most bipartisan, completely split, divided,
polarized.
Yeah. Thank you. The most polarized Congress in all of history, statistically, magically came together to undermine labor. That's really good. Way to go to undermine collective bargaining. Congratulations.
That and making sure that Supreme Court justices don't have protesters outside of their house are probably the two quickest things that can get this Congress to work together.
Oh.
That is the case, Brian. But we also covered updates with what's going on in United Auto Workers 180 down in Racine, one of the longest strikes going on currently in the nation, with those workers still demanding a fairer contract from Case IH. And so then we've got a new update, Brian, because today members of the Writers Guild for the New York Times are walking out because they are not receiving a fair contract either from one of the largest newspapers, if not the largest newspaper in the world.
If not the only newspaper left.
One of the few left. And so it's important to let folks know, if they have not heard, if you are a subscriber to the New York Times, which I normally thoroughly encourage, like supporting journalism through subscriptions is one of the ways that we've seen, as ad revenue is gone, subscription has been a lifeline for these local newspapers. But today, members of the Writers Guild are asking you not to cross the picket line, whether it's digital or not. So if you've got that Wordle streak going, or if you like doing the crossword, or you go to the New York Times for your digital subscription, or if you receive a hard copy. I guess it's hard to just cancel that for one day. But the Writers Guild is asking folks not to do online traffic to their sites today in solidarity with the workers demanding a fair contract. And so if you got that Wordle streak, please let it break today. Please don't go on there to play the 30-second, couple-minute relief that you normally would go to, because these workers are asking for solidarity. And it's important to point out the context of what the New York Times is doing around these negotiations for a fair contract. And so Amanda Hess, a reporter with the New York Times, this year the company pledged $150 million in stock buybacks. But is offering staff what amounts to a pay cut with the contract negotiations during record inflation in the most expensive city in the world. She said, "I love the Times and wish it loved me back." And so that is the context that these negotiations for the Writers Guild, for the New York Times, are surrounding. Because how can you contribute $150 million to stock buybacks to inflate your stock? Because that's what it is. It's an artificial way to amp up your stock price. That's what a stock buyback is.
Yeah.
It is artificial demand in the stock market. And you can juice those by $150 million rather than, as Amanda Hess pointed out, during this period of record inflation in what happens to be the most expensive city in the world, you can't take that money and invest it in your writing staff. And it just goes to show that we are at a point right now where corporations are making off like bandits, and workers are asking for nominal changes, and they are not being met. These corporations, whether it be the rail lines, whether it be John Deere, whether it be Kellogg's, whether it be the New York Times, we are seeing these corporations refuse to send in the workforce. And so I think it's important to point this out and have the conversation to not cross the digital picket line today, because that is what the Writers Guild is asking us to do as supporters of the New York Times on a regular basis.
How much are they using stock buybacks?
$150 million.
$150 million. Just to remind everybody, if you want to do math, how many staff on the New York Times, think about that in your head, 100, couple hundred, you know.
They've got probably at least a work. I would say it's probably almost in the low.
$1 million. To 1,000 people? Okay, great. $1 million will get 100 workers a $5 raise for a year. Just $1 million.
And they did $150 million in stock buybacks alone this year.
Yeah. So, you can afford it, one. You can afford to take care of people. But again, whenever in all of history, very few people own everything and everybody else is left to fight over everything, it ends badly for everyone every single time. All the time.
I mean, you don't even have to point to historical examples. Let's just deliver for when these corporations are having enough excess that they can pump $150 million into their own stock prices, they could invest that money into their workers. Mm-hmm. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm going to continue the conversation. Maybe keep it in New York, but on a lighter note when we get back. You're on the
radio. WAUK 540 AM. Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday morning at 10:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Hey Badger fans, heard about the Varsity Collective yet? The Varsity Collective was created by Wisconsin alumni with three goals. First, to help Badger student athletes maximize their name, image, and likeness opportunities in college and beyond. Second, to support Badger student athletes in the classroom and life through our mentorship program. And third, to facilitate charitable partnerships throughout the Badger community. The best part, you can be part of it. Learn how to support our Badger student athletes at thevarsitycollective.com. That's thevarsitycollective.com.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
I want to change some things.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
I want more of my neighbors to have access to health care.
I want to change what I see around here.
United Way is creating real, lasting change where you live by focusing on the building blocks of a better life: education, income, and health.
I just want to see more smiles on my sidewalks.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. For more, visit United Way at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The first Democratic candidate has joined the race for the 8th Senate District seat. Jody Habush Sinikin, an attorney from Whitefish Bay, has announced her candidacy. A Democrat has not held the seat since 1992, when Darling won the seat and held it ever since. Some Democrats speculate the special election has a good chance of flipping the seat after the outcome of the midterm elections. Habush Sinikin joins four Republican candidates running for the 8th Senate District seat. The primary will be held on February 21st. Santa is making time for pictures with children in Wisconsin Rapids at a special showroom set up at 851 Oak Street. There's even a mailbox set up at the corner of Oak and 9th for kids to send letters to the North Pole. Santa's showroom is open to the public Tuesdays through Fridays, now until December 23rd from noon to 8 p.m., and on Saturdays and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 35. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance of snow tonight, lows level off around 24. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies tomorrow, snow likely, highs level off around 33. 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight through Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 35.
That's amazing. I hope they come with jalapenos. You know, I like the pickled jalapeno kind. The vinegar kind of cuts out the little bit of the spicy taste. That's why I like them on my nachos. Did you know that there's only two corporations that have the nacho cheese market covered? There's just two. There's just like a cheddar and there's a nacho. I prefer the nacho myself. How about you?
I'm so glad that you just went with it. You just put a quarter in it. Put a quarter in him, folks, and he'll just run with that one all day long. But welcome
now
back
that
to
I have my breath cut, I just
That's all you needed. You needed to take a little gasp of air. But you're listening to this fine program, as Brian alluded to, on the Shaw, 101 FM in Waukesha, and across the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to learn more about what we're doing here at Civic Media, go to civicmedia.us, our website. Oh, yeah. You can see the stations, the programs, and maybe sign up for updates to learn where the next station may be popping up near you. But Brian, we do take me out to the ball game and your terrific impression, because this one popped up yesterday and I was like, oh, I want to talk about this on the radio, but I knew that you weren't going to be back until today. So I saved it. I kind of put it in my back pocket a little bit.
Oh yeah.
And
like a can of chew for a baseball player.
Just big league chew. I like the
packet of
the excellent bubble gum. The big
packet
league
of
chew
shredded
does.
Bubble gum.
But this is a pretty fascinating story, Brian, and it doesn't have a lot to do with politics, but I think it's got a lot to do with perception and storytelling and the way that sometimes the rules change for some and not the others. And so in kind, if you want to take those themes, very political, just not to do with everyday Wisconsin or U.S. politics. It's the politics of the Major League Baseball, Brian.
Well, Major League Baseball has come before Congress before and recently for steroids, when they got admonished for steroids. And funny, all those people that were in the congressional hearing, every single one of them and anybody who was associated with it, not in the Hall of Fame, including Roger Clemens, who is probably arguably one of the best pitchers of all time, if not the best pitcher of all time, and did steroids so everybody pretends that he didn't exist. Yeah. They'll punish people who make them look bad.
Will they?
Yeah. No. No. They took money from FTX and put it on their sleeves, and they just said, eh. At the end of it, whatever. So I guess
it's taking the cash while they can get it, Brian. It might dissolve in the Ponzi scheme when the crypto all falls apart.
Well, here's what pisses me off and why everybody else, because if this happened in football,
you think it would be a bigger
story.
So
many people have money on fantasy football, and this is actually why I'm kind of rooting for gambling. And I'm not talking about like mob gambling type of like crony type of betting type of stuff. I'm talking about like nationwide, full scale, like large scale marketing gambling at your fingertips. But I'm into that. And the reason why is you can't cheat when that happens. The cheating when that happens isn't beneficial. The house makes so much money anyway. It's just better the more people are there. And any scandal in that way will completely ruin your business.
That's an interesting way to take it.
Well, think about it. I haven't watched NBA games regularly since 2002, 2003.
You missed a good one last night against the Kings. Were involved against the Bucks last night.
They won the championship as far as I'm concerned. Freaking Vlade Divac is awesome. Anyway, point is, actually, Chris Webber. Chris Webber was a monster that. Anyway. Mike Bibby got elbowed in the face and got a foul called on him. Look.
You stop watching NBA, though.
Stop watching the NBA because of an obvious, referee, and it was backed up afterwards, referee scandal. And now, for me, the NFL has so much money riding on it that, like people get the weather reports and they have an injury report that's released and secret people get to go and see. Like, it's... they're as much as they want to be like FIFA. I don't think that when you're partnering with gambling entities, that you don't want to mess with those type of things, and you want to make sure that no matter what, even if it isn't, because again, I don't want to pretend like everything is pure or anything like that. But even if it isn't, you want to the illusion of the up and up has to be paramount in order for any gambling scheme on a large scale basis to work. So,
because if bettors lose faith that it's not rigged, then you're gonna have fewer people betting on it.
Yes.
And so you don't watch the NBA anymore. Is this scheme gonna? Let's let the folks know what's going on with MLB and this story that broke from insider.com.
So yesterday. here's the stupid thing about baseball is that they're ham-handed and don't know how to make things good or roll things. they're just Oh my God!
I think that has more to do with MLB though than baseball. That's not baseball's fault.
No, baseball is a good sport, and people who are like MLB think that, you know, it's because of the length of games that people aren't watching. But again, the whole reason why people watch baseball is it's timeless. There's no time involved. So when you enter time equation, they've been searching for more eyes and ears and stuff. Well, maybe don't be an old man's game and don't appear rigged half the time. And to that I mean, they used three different baseballs last year.
Three
different baseballs.
I thought there was two baseballs.
No. Three.
Three different baseballs.
So
I think it's important to point out how this came to light. These different baseballs came to light because the pitchers throwing the baseballs. How many?
The people who hold the baseballs every day, like 100 times a day, and throw them for a living and can use even the slightest bit of moisture to go and change the velocity or curvature trajectory. Spin rate of a, you know, and of course, Major League Baseball, if you remember the last 2 years, they started cracking down. After every inning, a pitcher has to come and show inside their pants and their hands.
Your hands, the top of your hat.
Yeah.
You gotta have a little inspection after each inning because the umpires were saying, "Oh well, the pitchers were doing things unfairly."
They were using spider tack, which was a little specific substance that was legal, I believe, and was putting on the baseball. And gave it extra because spin rates were up. You could tell that spin rates were up because pitchers were adjusting. Why were pitchers adjusting? Well, because Major League Baseball had, home runs are down. Kind of, we're gonna have to make the ball a little bit better. So they used a different ball a couple years ago. During the pandemic, I want to say they started messing with the ball, and then
nobody in the audience in the stands to catch them to find out that they were doing different.
Well, an astrophysicist started getting some different balls after a while. Her name is, I think, Meredith Wills. And she started doing, like, this past year, she collected over 200 different balls. And she has her method. She shows her methodology. She's going to go for peer review and all this stuff. She's a freaking scientist. If you ask her questions about it, she'll give you the specific details here.
Well, and she got individuals in the stands to start sending her balls so that she could analyze them too. Yeah. And so, like, she's got a pretty good sample size. It's not just one or two baseballs here. She was having people send her foul balls to be able to conduct scientific experiments on them.
Yeah. So they found there were dead balls, and then there were really live balls, and then they found a Goldilocks ball that was just right, super perfect. And you know when they used those? Magical balls.
Who got the Goldilocks balls the most, Brian?
Well, this graph here shows that they were from All-Star Week, commemorative games like
Field
of Dreams games, the postseason, and Yankees games.
How about them Yankees?
So real interesting that this information breaks, right? And then Aaron Judge, who was leaning towards going back to his hometown with the Giants or possibly flirting with the Padres for more money, decides to go back to the Bronx. Why? Because the Yankees get preferential treatment, and it shows in a graphic. And guess what happened last year during these Goldilocks balls that happened during Yankees games?
They were more prevalent during Yankees games, and Aaron Judge set the AL record.
He broke the AL record for home runs in a season. And a bunch of a-hole fuddy-duddies would go and tell you, this is the real home run leader, because Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire all did a bunch of steroids.
National League.
They were all in the National League, but they did a bunch of steroids. So everyone's saying that, you know, Aaron Judge is the real guy. He did it the right way. Well, it turns out that he did it the wrong way, even though he didn't know. So is there going to be an asterisk next to his year this year because the magic balls were being used during this time?
Somebody did the wrong way for him, though, Brian. That's different. So the umpires threw him in the Yankees games. That's not his doing.
The point is you use the league three doing it. Different, like, if you're going to experiment with different balls during a season, do it the entire season. Make everybody aware of it. That's just basic competitive facts. If you're going to change things, do it like the league rules. At the end of the season, we go, okay, we're going to do this thing.
But, and this was an interesting one from Insider for writing up this piece. We have tested 5 batches of MLB balls taken throughout the 2022 season, wrote Dr. Lloyd Smith, the director of Washington State University's Sports Science Laboratory. The balls were temperature and humidity controlled prior to testing. The average weight and standard deviation of these balls was consistent for a handmade product made from natural materials. The standard deviation of each batch was nearly identical, and the difference between the batches were below one standard deviation. I see no evidence from these data the ball design changed in 2022. So you have somebody now creating the faux science that MLB is saying, oh, no, Brian, there's no there. These balls are all the same.
Oh,
there's
okay.
No Goldilocks balls. No. There's no special treatment balls. All of the balls that we tested for MLB were on the up and up.
Well, let's ask one of the best pitchers in all of baseball what he has to say. Max Scherzer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much okay. Arguably, you know, up there in Cy Young contention almost every single year he's ever pitched. He's amazing.
Yeah.
If baseball, guy has 2 different eye colors. Here's a quote from Max Scherzer. If a baseball is random, the way MLB described it, you would see a rainbow of flavors of weights on baseballs. But you see 2 distinct weights being manufactured. Then it's only rational to assume that you know how to make the 2 weights. If you know how to make the 2 weights, then it's intentional, not random. When you have a numerical data suggesting what you have, the finger does get pointed at MLB, and that's completely fair for players to ask that question. We don't feel like we're being told the whole answer. Clearly.
And Justin Verlander, another excellent pitcher for the Houston Astros this past season, now going to
the
Philly?
Mets. Mets.
Mike.
Now he's pitching with Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
Tigers reunion. Rick Porcello just retired, so he's not going to play.
He brought it up to one of the umpires on the field earlier this year and said, when are you going to fix the freaking balls? But he didn't say freaking.
Yeah.
And so talking to the umpires, the players, the pitchers know that these balls are off and that there are different versions. And so MLB to come out and say, well, we've done the standard deviation math and I'm going to cross this T and dot this I and carry the 1. And no, these balls are perfectly fine on the up and up. And meanwhile, we know from the players that this is just insane. It's gaslighting 101, which is hilarious that this is happening, Brian, because Merriam-Webster picked the word of the year this year, and it's gaslighting. MLB is gaslighting. It's players, it's fans, it's everybody. And saying that there is a no deviation from these balls, as we are seeing statistically proven when you test them, that there's 3 different sets. It's ridiculous.
Here's a quote from Nick Castellanos, who had played with the Phillies and got to the World Series this year, and he wasn't using this as a complaint as to why he lost the World Series. It's just ridiculous. He's saying, in the NFL, there was Deflategate. It happened one time, and people were punished. Here we use multiple balls, and nothing happens.
Nothing. So
the NFL were, oh, that's pass interference because Aaron Rodgers threw it. Oh, it's not pass interference because anyone else threw it.
Or it's roughing the passer because Tom Brady got hit.
Yep.
Or it's not roughing the passer because Cam Newton got hit.
They got looked at wrong.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
To be fair, you shouldn't look at Tom Brady wrong. He's had enough. That poor man.
We got one more segment left in the day.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment.
We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station. The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. If you want to join the show, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. If you're just joining us for the hour, the U.S. House of Representatives has passed the Respect for Marriage Act. Thank you, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, for shepherding that effort. Now heads to President Joe Biden's desk. We've got an update on the MLB using several different baseballs and what that means for baseball going forward, maybe?
I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see if anything like Deflategate that happened in when there was different PSI, air pressure in the
footballs. That was a player they could punish. This would be executives, and no executives will ever get.
Yeah. So Brian's not hopeful, but we got some good insight on what's going on with MLB.
Can I share sound with you guys?
Sure.
I want to go back to, again, you did the Respect for Marriage Act.
Yeah.
Finally passed. I want to play this. Because I was wondering early, I had wondered if there was any opposition and what they would have said, like in opposition to.
Oh, there was quite a few floor speeches, it sounded like, from the Republicans asking for it not to happen.
I just got to play it for you. I'm sorry. Here we go. All right. Here it is. This is Rep. Vicky Hartzler from Missouri. Congratulations, whoever has her in her leather jacket. I really think she should just put the collar up. Be a lot easier with the eyes. Anyway, let's just listen to this.
Mr. Speaker, I'll tell you my priority. Protect religious liberty, protect people of faith, and protect Americans who believe in the true meaning of marriage. I hope and pray that my colleagues will find the courage to join me in opposing this misguided and this dangerous bill. I yield back.
She said because of her belief. Not these horrible people or anything horrible or anything. Because of her belief. Because I believe something's bad, I have to change the rights of other people. How awesome of a person is that? Congratulations for everyone in Missouri who voted for Vicky Hartzler. You're probably bad people.
Or they had no other option because of gerrymander maps. I don't know.
Oh, that's true too.
Very
that's
well
true too.
In Missouri.
True there's, too. There's either way. There. Either way, what a bunch of whining little children, and that's so funny. Because it passed. Because it passed. I would be very angry otherwise, so I'm laughing about it.
Yeah, and Tom Tiffany and Glenn Grothman and Scott Fitzgerald voted in the same way.
To be fair, Glenn Grothman doesn't believe in any marriage whatsoever. Just he doesn't believe in any marriage for anyone whatsoever. Not.
I don't know. He's like, pretty Catholic. I think he's probably
he's pretty
very much
he's pretty mama's basement is what he is. He's pretty much a confirmed bachelor.
The meatloaf.
Yeah, he's pretty much...
Yes.
He's just incel that isn't declared yet.
Well, Mike Gallagher and Brian Stile did the political calculus and said, we better vote for this one. And so they're riding their political hopes in 2024.
We should protect the rights of our fellow citizens, but let's... Well, we could probably get elected if we do this. That's good.
Yeah. I have a feeling that was more what went through their minds today when voting in favor of the Respect for Marriage Act. But a vote for it is a vote for it. It passed, I believe, with like 260, 270 votes right around there. And so it is going to President Biden's desk. It will be signed. We also gave an update about the New York Times Writers Guild doing a walkout from the New York Times. If you can stand in solidarity with them, do not cross the digital picket line today. Let that Wordle streak break. Skip the crossword. Go find a different free online crossword for the day instead. Yeah. And if you want to enjoy the show, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. You got something real quick before we head over to the phone lines?
Yes, one last thing on gay marriage. If you have a problem with this, you have the freedom to be angry about it.
That's you do.
Have a good time. Let's go to Annie in Watertown. How you doing, Annie?
Oh, good to hear you, Brian.
Good to hear you, Annie. It's been a while.
Something I've been thinking about for a week or so is, you know, how the committee people, like the DNR guy, isn't being changed because the Senate has to approve them.
Frederick Prenn.
But you don't have to. There's nothing saying that they must right away. Well, why does the governor have to call an emergency election? Like, couldn't he just wait like they wait?
I believe there is actually a provision that says shall in a timely manner. There was a...
Even if there wasn't, Annie, Tony Evers believes that Wisconsinites should have representation in their state legislature. He believes that a quick and timely election, I believe, should be called for. And so, again, that's why Republicans have it easy in a lot of sense. They don't believe in playing by the rules, so they don't have to play by the rules.
But, and none of their voters hold them accountable to it either.
No, and they'll deal in changing sets of rules. They go and they pass lame duck legislation when the voters clearly tell them that they want, for all the statewide offices, Democrats in power instead of Republicans, as what happened in 2018. And instead of accepting the will of the people, they did an extraordinary session and passed measures that removed powers from both the governor and attorney general that they were perfectly fine having Scott Walker and Brad Schimmel hold. But when voters sent Tony Evers and Josh Call to those positions, Republicans had the audacity to say, well, we're going to change the rules. And so I don't see how it's beneficial to delay a special election for the 8th State Senate District. I think it's also important to point out there is a Democrat that is now announced for that seat. Her name is Jody. I got to pull up her last name. But we will have a Democrat running, at least one Democrat running in that seat as well. So 4 Republicans, 1 Democrat, and it'll be interesting to see what unfolds from that special election. But I don't think anything beneficial comes from it being delayed by the governor.
I got to tell you, any representation is better than Alberta Darling's representation.
Well, she was totally in fine with the status quo of calling it quits in early March or April. And that's Jody Habish-Sinkin. She announced yesterday her intentions to run. She's a Democrat that resides within the 8th Senate District. So we will have a contested general election race come April. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. We'll share our tangents then. See you soon.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at